Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BROOKLANDBAPTIST.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 101319B. 101319B, God will use your mess for good. Come from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verse 23 through 29. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Did I mention sometimes in life, we can deal with some messy situations and some messy people? I'm about to tell you about some messy people right now. This family was as dysfunctional, Reverend Brown, as they come. They're the great-grandsons of Abraham, the sons of Jacob, the couriers of God's covenant to a galaxy of people. Tribes will bear their banners. The name of Jesus will even come through their family tree. They are scriptures equivalent to royalty. Yet in this day of the bronze version of a dysfunctional family, they could have had their own reality TV show. The earshot of Joseph's appeal while their brother was suffering and in a pit, they were chewing on fried chicken, chewing on venison and passing the spirits. Hearts cold and hard as the Canaanite desert. Their lunch mattered more than their brother's life. In short, y'all, they hated the boy. They couldn't stand the ground he walked on. They despised him. And the text says, actually, in Genesis 38 and 37, even through 11, says that they hated him the more. The more you get blessed, the more the devil gets upset. In fact, the greater your anointing, the more troublesome the people and trouble in your life becomes. Well, you know, you wonder why, and you look at why things happen the way they do when you ask questions sometime. But you know, why did this happen to Joseph? Can I tell you what happened? Let's tell you what happens in this scene and in this episode. Let me tell you. Well, one of the things that happened was this. Daddy pampered Joseph like a prize calf. Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, but one love. Rachel, when she died, Jacob kept her memory alive by fawning over the first son. The brothers worked all day. Joseph played all day. They wore clothes from secondhand store. Jacob gave Joseph a hand-stitched multicolored cloak. With embroidered sleeve, they slept in the bunkhouse. He slept in a queen-size bed in his own room. While they ran, the family herd, Daddy's little darling stayed home. Jacob treated the 11th born like the firstborn. The brothers spat at the sight of him. Now, to say that this family was in crisis is like saying that a grass hut is more stable in a hurricane. But one day, the brothers caught the little darling off guard. About six, y'all know how it is when the young ones, when you're growing up, tell on you all the time, and they get all the favor and all the stuff that y'all didn't get. And then when you catch them off, yeah, daddy can't hear you now. And y'all know how we do it, and mama can't hear you now. Yeah, baby boy, baby girl, what you gonna do now? So they caught him off 60 miles from home. Said, yeah. But you know, unfortunately, Joseph made the error that a lot of us make. You know, they just went nuclear on him. And he made the error that a lot of us make. He assumed that people would appreciate his gift. Let me tell y'all this morning, you got to be careful how you lift and share your gifts. Because sometimes the best of intentions, with all the best intent and try to do the best you can, people will not appreciate your gift. They will resent you. The text said instead of listening to Joseph and appreciating his ability, even the daddy got mad at him. They resented him all the more, so they said to themselves, "We're tired of this boy bragging, running his mouth. We're tired of this runt bragging about he's going to rule over us." One of the brothers said, "What are we going to do about Joseph?" Y'all, they formed a huddle, and they despised, and they got together and talked about what they were going to do. And let me tell y'all, sometimes you better be careful when the Lord is blessing you and you're minding your own business, because evil co-workers and people and even family members will form a huddle. And the ones you think that ought to be there, that ought to love you, that ought to have your back, are the ones that will stab you in your back, stab you to your heart, drag you down, and get together against others against you. Be careful, because they're trying to kill you. They interjected of what we call the scandal of particularity. The scandal of particularity, what it means is, why did God bless her with more than he did me? Why did you give her a Mercedes and give me a Volkswagen? Why did you give him a split level house and give me an apartment? Why did you give her that job and you gave me this? Why did you give her a voice to sing and I can't carry a tune in the bucket? Don't be jealous of the abilities or gifts. What I've learned about God is he does not treat us all alike, but he does treat us all right. Stop keeping score about what other people have. Some people are professional scorekeepers. Let me help you with a professional scorekeeper. A professional scorekeeper is one who looks at everything you buy, you wear, and you own. Didn't she just get another car? He already had a Ford pickup. Now they got a BMW. Now they got another Jeep. Is that another outfit, another hat, a suit that she has? They already had this. Why they need that? But the hymn and the old folk used to say, count your blessings. Count your own blessings. Name them one by one. You need to start thanking God for what he has given you. Some people can't enjoy what they have for worrying about what somebody else has. Well, there are three quick things, and I'll be out of your way, as to how God uses your mess to bless you for good. And the first point of this, it's a simple point, is that when God wants you in the palace, nobody can keep you in the pit. When God wants you in the palace, can't nobody keep you in the pit. See, the truth is, when God is getting ready to elevate you and move you forward, he will open doors that no one can shut. The purpose of God will always overcome the plans of wicked men. No one, listen to me now, can prevent God from blessing you or using you. The Bible says, whom I bless, no man can curse. And whom I curse, no man can bless. There's a reason for everything, and there's also a season. We may not understand it at the moment, but what I want you to do is stand on what God's promised you. Can I show it to you in the text? Well, it's right there. You see, Joseph, It got worse before it got better. Abandonment led to enslavement. Entrapment led to imprisonment. He was sucker punched, sold out, mistreated. People made promises only to break them. The baker and the other one, the butcher, just forgot about him. They gave him gifts and took him back. Somebody lied on him. If hurt were a swampland, then Joseph was sentenced to life in the Everglades. But he never, ever gave up. Bitterness never stakes its claim. Anger never metastasized into hatred. His heart never hardened. His resolve never vanished. He did not only survive, but he thrived. Let me tell you something. Even in the midst of your mess, don't think God can't bless you in the midst of mess. Because it's right there in the text. You keep hearing that word. They did this to him. They lied on him. But God was with Joseph. He can bless you even in the messiest of situations. Look at what God did for Joseph. And they put him in a pit, but he ascended like a helium balloon. An Egyptian official promoted him to chief servant. The prison warden placed him over the inmates. Pharaoh, the highest ruler on the planet, tapped him on the shoulder and made him prime minister. By the end of his life, he was the second most powerful man in his generation. To say that he saved the world from starvation is an understatement. You ask, how did we do it? Because the text says, because the Lord was with Joseph. How did you get through this without losing your mind? The Lord was with you. How did you get this when folk wished your downfall? Because the Lord was with you. How did you get through this when they tried to break you, tried to crush you, tried to bruise you? You got through because God was with you. But let me tell you something. You got to be careful how you treat God's people. Because guess what? The pendulum, it will shift. Because 20 years later, the roles were reversed. Joseph was the strong one. And his brothers were the weak ones. Tell your haters you might be down tonight. You might be down today. But by 8 o'clock in the morning, in the morning, that the old folks used to sing, in the morning, when the dark clouds have rolled away, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. God will use your challenges and obstacles the enemy brings in your life and turn them into stepping stones and stumbling blocks. God will elevate you to fulfill your destiny. Remember the song by Miami Mass Choir, what God has for me, it is for me. What God has for you, it is for you. Song says, I know without a doubt that he will bring me out, because what God has for me, it is for me. Well, not only is it that when God wants you in the palace, that nobody can put you in the pit. Secondly, I started shouting when I read this, Reverend Bassfield. The way God uses your mess is by showing others that your future is not in their hands. Y'all don't even know when to shout. Aren't you glad that where you are going and where you are headed is not in the hands of other folk? Oh, come on, let's get real about it. Because if it was up to some folk, you wouldn't have a dime in your pocket. If it was up to some folk, you'd be homeless somewhere, sleeping in your car. If it was up to some folk, you wouldn't have a job. You'd be unemployed. If it was up to some folk, you would be out of your mind. Up in here, up in here. If it was up to some folk, you'd be crawling on the ground, begging and starving. Oh, you ain't got to say amen. I know I'm in the house. Because if it were left to some folk, you wouldn't have nothing. You would not be where you are. If they had, Lord have mercy, if they had their way with you, you wouldn't have a dime. But thanks. That he did not leave it up to you to decide how high I can fly, how big I can dream, what I can have, and what I can desire. That's why Psalm 75, 6 through 7 says, that exaltation or promotion does not come from the east or the west or the desert. But God is the judge. He brings down one and exalts another. Promotion comes from God. Lifting up comes from God alone. According to the view, it helps us to understand that the promotions, we must caution ourselves against lifting ourselves. Because God will knock down, what does he say? He brings low the proud and the haughty. The question of your success or prosperity does not depend on anything down here below. Under human skill, under human guise of power, but by God alone. It was in vain for us to think that through networking, name dropping, hookups, that we can get to where we are trying to go. Not through connections and name dropping, but only through God. Success and real success depends only on God. Why? Because Psalm says he presides over all. And he can give success when it's least expected. That's why the scripture says he that exalts himself will be brought low. But he that humbles himself, the Lord will exalt him or her in due time. The idea is that where you are now, God gave it to you. The car you drive, God gave it to you. The house where you live, God gave it to you. The health that you got, God gave it to you. The air that you breathe, God gave it to you. The promotion that you got, God made it for you. The door that you walk through, God opened that door. The life you enjoy, God. God gave it to you. And let me tell you something. And you better learn to thank God for what he has done for you. You ought to thank God for where he has brought you. You ought to thank God for how he has kept you. Thank God for the mess he brought you through. Thank God for the trials he brought you out of. God! Because if you don't thank him and you exalt yourself, remember this, the Lord God giveth and the Lord God can take it away. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is don't worry about how folks scheme and plot against you. But when God has already set something in motion, you can't stop what God has started. You can't stop the blessings that he wants to bring into my life, because it ain't up to you. Promotion comes from God. But third and finally, let me see if I can land this thing. Third and finally, not only does God desire you to be in the pit, and nobody, if he desires you to be in the palace, nobody can keep you in the pit. And know that your elevation or whatever you have is not left in the hands of others. But the Lord told me to tell you, the third and final way he uses our mess for our good is because the assignment that he has given you doesn't require the cooperation of anybody else. In other words, it's your assignment. Can't nobody tell you whether you are qualified or not, because God assigned you. God called you. God ordained you. God chose you. He not only chose you, but he handpicked you for the assignment that he has given you. That is not an accident. Nothing happens in life by accident. It's divine providence. The story of Joseph shows us the mysterious working hands of God, that good will ultimately triumph over evil. And it comes to culmination in Genesis 50:20. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Sometimes what seems unconquerable, evil can seem invincible. But the Lord has a way of taking evil and remanufacturing evil. Do I have a witness? God has a way of taking evil and put it on the Holy Ghost anvil. And when the Holy Ghost gets through hammering on it, what appears to be a messing turns out to be a blessing in disguise. When God gets through with evil, what was evil will become good. That's why the writer in Romans said, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Well, as I close the day, there's a story told about an old lady who lived next door to a mean white neighbor. Oh, Lord. And every time the dog would mess on the lawn, she'd take it and throw it in the neighbor's yard. Oh, yes. And well, one day, Reverend Brown, the woman, got sick, hold on, and had it to be hospitalized. Yeah, well, the neighbor who she had thrown the stuff in her yard decided it to pay her a visit. Y'all don't hear me. And she went to the hospital and took her some flowers and took her some soup. The old me and neighbor said, mine, what pretty flowers. Where in the world did you get those pretty flowers? My, what tasty soup. Where in the world did you get soup like this? The lady said, well, every time you threw mess in my yard, I packed it down and used it for fertilizer. And these flowers and this soup comes from the mess you threw in my yard. And that's all. That's all I want to tell y'all this morning. When you're dealing with messy folk and messy situations, just pack it and watch God spring up blessings. Watch God open windows. Watch God make a way out of no way. Watch God give you new joy. Watch God put you on the highway to blessings. Is there anybody in Brooklyn today is going to let the Lord deal with your mess? God will. Won't he do it? God will bless you in spite of mess. I'm so glad today. When I was in a mess, it was amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Somebody else in here knows what I'm talking about. You were in a messy relationship. You were on a messy job. You have a messy sickness. But God got you out the pit. And look at you now, strutting in blessings. Look at you now, blessed and highly favored. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yeah! 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 Ah, yeah! God will bless you even in mess. God bless you. I know I'm going to make it. Some way and somehow, with Jesus on my side, things will work out fine. And we're gonna make it. God bless you. The door of the church is open. Maybe somebody wants to come today. You're dealing with some mess and some messy people who turned on you, betrayed you, and lied on you. But you don't have to worry, because elevation belongs to God. God bless you. The door of the church is open. The choir is going to sing. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come today. to give.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 101319B. 101319B. God will use your mess for good. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Please include this into your library. Grab this word and share it with somebody. We just want you to be enriched with the word. Also want to take the opportunity to thank each and every one of you for your continued support. We appreciate all the support you give at Brooklyn. Visit us on the website, brooklynbaptist.org, or just come by and see us today. We thank you for your support. Have a blessed and prosperous week in the Lord.